Welcome back, everybody. My name is Kaz, and this is episode 73 of the Skulls Cast.
73?
Yes. And we have a great topic for you tonight, but before we get started with that, we have a list of names. We got a list of names. For those of you who
patronized.
Those of you who have patronized us at the $5 level and up.
Yes.
Was that the one?
Yeah,
that we decided?
Yes.
Anyway, the names are accurate, whether or not my recollection of our reward tiers are accurate. Get your names mentioned in the Skulls Cast. So, in no particular order, Pirate Mike.
Matthew.
Just says Matthew.
It's a good name, though.
Squirrel Token.
All right. A Random Puppy.
Thanks, Internet. And I'm not saying, like, thank you, the Internet. The name itself is Thanks, yeah, Internet. So thanks, Internet.
Yes. Major Monotone.
Burnedhead.
Paul Allen.
Scott Clements.
Galactic Vole.
And Blunt the King. Right. And if you would like to learn how to patronize us in a way that you don't already naturally understand from the regular meaning of the word patronize, go to patreon.com/skulls and learn basically nothing that you don't already know about what we do, but how to allow us to do it more and better. So we on to the topic. Now that we've thanked our list and mentioned it and reminded everybody that we exist and have done things and made other and more.
We got a topic.
We do have a topic, I swear to God. It's Paper Mario.
Getting back to Paper Mario.
We are talking more about Paper Mario. This time with Thousand Year Door and the introduction of a specific mechanic called Super Guard.
Super Guard.
Also sometimes called Parry, or perhaps
Counter guard
is a pretty good one. We're going to be using all those words for it interchangeably while we discuss this topic. And just like spoilers for the game we're not really spoiling the game itself, but we are spoiling the topic by saying that I'm against and he is for. And that's more or less where we still basically stand, having had this discussion on and off for like
years
really. Like, I started out and just to give you a little background in my own habits, I like Perfect Guard mechanics. They're really great. I like several games that feature them. Castlevania Lament of Innocence, for instance, and I haven't played Devil May Cry. So maybe that's... I know they have one. Way of the Samurai, definitely a game that features a Perfect Guard mechanic. The basic idea being that you block with timing and you take no damage. And that's how they work there. That's how they work. And like all kinds of... This is a pretty well-known and well-understood thing.
If you play a significant number of action games, mm-hmm. you have likely run across this type of mechanic.
It's some kind of like Parry or Perfect Guard. It comes up in fighting games too sometimes.
Yes.
Like in Guilty Gear, Quaterberry Jam has the parry.
Right. Sometimes it's a character specific command input.
Right.
Sometimes it's a universal mechanic,
yeah,
like in Third
it's
Strike
part of the game.
Or I think in some it might have been a King of Fighters game that has Just Defend, where
mm-hmm.
just when you start your block at the right time. I think also BlazBlue has that.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Man, that's very troublesome for a taker player like me. I hope that's not real. But I'm not very good. I'm not actually like a player of that game.
I also could be wrong about this because I've
watched
enough fighting games that they all get mixed up in my head.
I have my like one. It's like the elemental taker combo, and people are just afraid of getting thrown, and it's pretty great. Perfect Guards, they're all over the place. I almost universally love them. I can't get enough. It's like, hey, yes, okay, I'm in this dangerous situation, but whatcha! Bang! And I get it, and there's this like bright flash or a sound, usually like a noise that goes with it, some kind of something, and you're like, yes! And it's this really beautiful little
like very immediate moment. Direct feedback right. to the player. Mm-hmm. You did it right.
Yeah, the immediacy is pretty important too. Anytime I talk about a game and I think the controls are like wonky or watery or otherwise just kind of bad, it's because they're not responsive. And there's something to the... I remember reading something about this. Hell, it might have even been like another Teasdale rant where you have to receive feedback within like a 30th of a second of pressing a button or else it doesn't feel like you did it.
Yeah.
Where
something needs to start happening. Something needs even if it doesn't finish immediately, right, it needs to start.
Right. Same thing. I mean, if we're talking about like Castlevania games and Castlevania 1, 3, 4, Symphony of the Night, Richter Mode, those games have the whip, and the whip begins to animate, and you need to like learn the timing yourself, but you feel like you did it because right. you like started the wind up for it. So. That's, like, it has, okay, so perfect guards have good, like, immediate feedback to them, and that's something that I like, that's something that I take in from action games in particular, and I'm like, yes, okay, I did that, I know that I did that. It even goes, like, beyond knowing, you are the motion, and you forget that you have a controller in your hand. That's the kind of thing that can happen. But for whatever reason, the reasons that I guess I'll go into as much detail as I can about, I don't like it in Thousand Year Door.
All right. Let me take a moment to explain the nature of this mechanic
in Thousand
Year Door for those who are not perfectly
acquainted. Getting ahead of myself.
In the original Paper Mario, it was possible for Mario to reduce the damage from incoming attacks when the player pressed A at the right time, generally at the point of contact between the attack and Mario. In this way, the player can influence both Mario's turn through the attacking action commands of the jump and the hammer, and the enemy turn through this guarding mechanic. Mario pulls his hat down over his head a bit and ducks, and there's a different sound to it. And there's a different animation. You know, normally when he's hit, he sort of looks a little shocked.
He gets knocked back.
Yes. We get, comically, charcoal coating for a fire attack, and it looks very silly. So that mechanic existed in the original Paper Mario on the Nintendo 64. In Thousand Year Door, that mechanic is intact.
Yes,
in
every still there. Way. You also start the game with it,
yes.
rather than having to, earn it from the,
In Paper Mario, you did not actually start the game with access to any of your action commands. You had to do a little bit of playing before getting access to it. Whereas in Thousand Year Door, you immediately have access to it, although they don't explain it immediately.
They don't. They explain it in, the second fight.
Right.
Like, you have one clear fight with just sort of do stuff. And then you meet Professor Frankly, and he's like, look, you're not going to get far without action commands here. Let's learn it.
So, you are immediately allowed to use it, and you are much more quickly informed of it if you don't know of it. So action commands are available early. The guard command is available earlier, which is to say immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to the, the guard command as something you can do during the enemy turn, there is a new command you can do called super guard, or we'll call it counter guard or parry.
Yeah, we're going to use all the names for it.
And the way that works a little bit differently. Instead of pressing A, you press the B button. Instead, the timing window for you to press the B button and get the desired outcome is smaller than for the normal guard. But in addition to that, it provides a slightly different effect. When you successfully super guard, Mario will take no damage from the enemy attack, regardless of the attack's power or Mario's defensive statistics or anything like that. In addition, in many cases, Mario will immediately deal damage back to the attacker. In the case of direct physical attackers, it's pretty easy to see Mario Just sort of striking back with it. When you do it correctly, first of all, Mario spins around.
Yeah.
When you do it against a physical attack, you see the... Or a direct, I should say, attack. You see the attacker sort of get knocked back and surprised. And they will take one damage for this. Some projectiles may be flung back at their origin
most
point.
Most projectiles, I think. Like, most of them will travel in an arc, and then if you perfect guard those, they'll go back the way they came.
Yes.
You'll actually get the one damage from that, too, even though they're not directly attacking you.
Right. Some attacks, such as, fire breath, will not return to its origin, but you still do avoid all damage and potential negative effects.
Right. So for, like, fire attacks, you can be burned. For some damaging moves, you can, like, be put to sleep or stopped, I think.
Stopped. Dizzied.
Dizzy. They still have dizzied?
Well, dizzy is mischance now.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
They have a wide overriding.
That was another thing that we were like, what the heck with Paper Mario? They have all these status moves. But yeah, now enemy damaging moves can inflict statuses on you. And if you perfect guard them, you get no status.
Yes, in addition to no damage.
Right.
And possibly damage back.
Right.
So in this way, it is a pretty strong reversal of, the enemy's attack against you. They get nothing, and you potentially get something.
Right. Now, the name of the game, at its deepest, is Action Economy. You get your Mario action and your partner action on your turn. And each enemy gets whatever one action they do. In very rare circumstances, an enemy gets to do two actions in their round.
Yes.
I think it's only that one boss, actually, who explicitly states, I'm going to take two turns from now on.
There might be, I don't remember perfectly, but there might be some very powerful optional enemies that can also do this.
It wouldn't surprise me at the least if wizards could break turn economy.
Elite wizard could just be like, time walk.
I cast time walk. But no, it's that's crucial to the game, is that you get this during your turn, you do this, partner does this, each enemy does their one thing, and so you know how much can happen in a turn. And with the numbers being as small as they are, Mario starts life with 10 hit points and deals, like, 1-1 with a jump or 2 with hammer. And that's... Those are real damage numbers.
Those get things done over the game.
They can continue to get things done for a while. So, like, doing the parry and getting, like, 1 damage to your opponent is a pretty big deal. Shutting down their turn is a huge deal. That's all they get. They don't get any do-overs. So, like, the action economy is what makes the difference between an easy and a difficult encounter. If you can spend your action removing one of theirs, then you get to keep them locked out forever, basically. This happens all the time if you have, like, Mario and Goombella, or Mario and, like, overhead with, or partner with overhead, whatever, and you're facing two shelled enemies that you can just flip every single turn, they'll never do anything to you. Even if you're not doing any damage to them, you're shutting them down. And so they'll never, ever get you, and you can just continue to fail the rebound action command as much as you want. You have them, like, dead on principle, just on,
the best they have is a draw.
Right. Man, I wonder how that actually shakes. I think the game just keeps going on, frankly.
Why wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, the crowd leaves. The crowd eventually throws enough damaging items at you to get you. There's some pretty... there's
pretty deep stuff.
Right. We don't have anything like that in terms of, like, an eventuality or... Not eventuality. What is the word for that?
Inevitability.
Inevitability. There's not an inevitability mechanic kicking in. But then again, the circumstances that would require one are relatively rare. And while it's just the fact that healing in the game is pretty strongly gated and relatively rare. Even for you, it's like, I get this thing that restores, like, health, but sometimes... Or, you know, your first star power, which restores health, like, if you get five from it, that's doing really well.
Yeah, a 5-5-5 off of that, you know, 5 hit points for Mario, Mario's partner, and 5 flower points. Is, like, honestly, a 4-4-4 I consider acceptable.
Yeah,
out of
that's pretty good out of
5-5-5, you're doing good.
This is all a laborious way of saying that if you have any ability at all to take fewer turns to do more, or to take rounds off of your opponent, or to defeat an enemy before it gets to act, this is a significant advantage for you. And any way that you can do that is basically the way that you do well at the game. Similarly to how we talk about card advantage in Magic, action advantage in Paper Mario is that's the game.
Yeah.
Anything that we're trying to do in terms of our setups or our strategizing or our badge loadouts or whatever is trying to get the game done faster, do more with fewer total turns, take more turns than the opposing side. Which leads me to parry being a negative for the game as it exists, because it gives you an alternative, a degenerate alternative to regular strategic avenues. Its existence locks off a lot of possibilities just on its face, and enemies have to be designed with the notion in mind that Mario just plain won't take damage sometimes, based on like player ability to both select and perform the specific action. I had a more elegant way of saying it. We tried recording this once, and I liked the discussion that we had, and so I know that we're retreading, like you and I are retreading ground. And so for us, it feels a little more forced this time around, because we've already like come to our conclusion about it. I'm just trying to wind down from that a little. And I lost the recording. Audacity just stopped. It's like, nope, you get half of this.
But
you know what?
We're back for...
We are, because it's important. And so, this discussion is important and probably ongoing.
I, on the other hand, really like Counter Guard.
Mm.
Here's why. One, it gives me more than one thing I can choose to do during my enemy's turn. I can choose to go for a normal guard, or I can choose to go for a super guard. Although the benefits of a successful super guard are strictly at least as good as a successful guard. They can never be worse than a successful guard. It is more difficult to perform. The timing window is narrower. In this way, going for a normal guard is a safer option. If I do not think that I can successfully super guard, I have the choice of normal guard. If I think I can successfully super guard, I can choose to super guard.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that is difficult to get on, you know, the first few times you see an attack, whereas oftentimes with many enemies, a normal guard, you can get, you know, on the second or sometimes even first time you see a move come at you. Although, you know, some attacks come at you pretty fast, and so the first time it'll just sort of, it'll tag you. Second time after that, you know the general timing and you can goad pretty well. And then you can start asking yourself, do I think I can get this button press really well and go for the super guard? Conserve my hit points, maybe, you know, when I guard, I take one damage. If I super guard, I take none. In the early game, when damage values are pretty low, and guarding takes off, and sometimes a normal guard against some early game enemies does get you no damage on Mario.
Right, most of them.
Yes.
Actually, if we're talking about early game.
And once they get up to 2 or 3, you're taking off half or a third with the regular, relatively easier guard command. Once you get to the later game and enemies can deal 5 or 6 damage, you're getting an overall lower fraction of the damage removed by the normal guard command, but there are avenues available to improve the effectiveness of the normal guard, the damage dodge badge, which Has gone down to 2 badge points.
Yeah.
But that's because you now need it for Mario and your partner separately, now that your partner has a real hit point total.
No, they have hit points, so damage dodge means something for them, so right. It's cheaper. I think that damage dodge really got a price decrease because of the existence of parry, just to try and make it more of a choice, even though it basically is not. Which really is what nags at me, is that here we have, like, I have the option to load out my badges with defensive, just plain old defend plus, and damage dodge, and, like, even things that are random, like lucky, or close call, or whatever. And really, I can just train up and get good at the parry and throw all of those badges in the garbage, because they're no longer needed. And moreover, even, like, just bad, like, a dodge or a defensive move from those are necessarily weaker than just taking zero damage from the move and possibly harming my opponent. Unless we're talking about the far-out scenario that I'm at 8 and I need to take precisely 3 to activate all my danger badges, the guard will allow me to take that, but the super guard won't, kind of thing. We're kind of not talking about that scenario and just saying that Super Guard is better because it is. Right. It's too good.
I'm okay with it being better because it is difficult. Even when I had practiced and essentially learned the timing for Super Guarding several attacks, I wouldn't get it 100% of the time. Because it is difficult to do. There exist players, especially those who speedrun the game,
mm-hmm.
in a serious way. A big part of their strategy involves never, essentially super guarding every incoming attack, because it will finish fights more quickly, and it also means that leveling. They don't have to worry about healing. They don't have to worry about leveling up their heart points mm-hmm. or anything like that. So it, very conducive to their goal of a fast game clear. I guess I am okay with that existing, with there being this top-level player who completely destroys your game, because in the time it took them to get there, they were experiencing your game in the way
they were experiencing that you expected. A different game, and that's my problem with it. The existence of parry warps the game around it to the point where you're not playing Paper Mario anymore. You're playing Action Command Timing Game. You're playing some kind of extremely crappy action game. Like, to give you some contrast. In Castlevania Lament of Innocence, in Way of the Samurai, games that are action games feature, positioning, 3D elements, and perfect guards. The perfect guard makes sense there because all of the combat of the world flows to a very regular pace. Paper Mario is, at its heart, strategy and tactical turn-based RPG. A turn happens. Some active thing happens on that turn. The action commands, the bits of action game that work their way into it, are additive. They're a little extra step. They're that thing that we always did when we were playing Dragon Warrior or whatever. And if you've ever played Dragon Warrior or games like it, I mean, where you're just like, yeah, I'm hitting him now, and you're pressing buttons, or maybe like throwing the controller around.
No, it's you press down and B when the Pokeball
right.
opens.
Right, so you did it, and
the better
it was
catch
a kind
rate.
Of thing that drew on things that players were already doing to do like a little better, to add a little more. And the regular action command supports this. I don't, by getting the action command correct on my jump, I don't murder my opponent. I get another jump. Get 1-1. It's not like the difference between 1 and poof, he's crushed. Although that would kind of be an interesting badge, and we'll think about that for later. But it's a little more. This is all more. It's like, L block I'll block one damage or I will block 19 damage. There are enemies who can toss 20s in this game of, like...
Enemy who can toss 20s.
Okay, there's, like, an enemy that can toss 20s.
I think, like, the next nastiest thing is a 12. From the actual final boss of the game.
Okay,
or perhaps
okay,
the
okay.
double
still,
final boss of the game.
Well, fine. If you're facing down, like, three enemies who are tossing nines, that's basically
okay.
the same thing. So, and that's far more regular, and is as early as, like, chapter 4 out of 7. So, you know, there's... But what I'm saying is there's room for, like, zero to be a vast difference from -1 or -2 as your... as your defensive measure. And if you thought about it like, okay, here's this finer button press that has 4 damage dodges on it. You'd be like, wow, 4 damage dodges, that's 10 badge points. But instead we have a 0 badge point badge equipped that lets us turn it into 0. And I'm talking about 2 different points at the same time. That's not good. But my point with the action game thing was that, like, Castlevania Lament of Innocence or Way of the Samurai are fully about the mechanics of positioning, moving, timing, where your weapon goes, where their enemy damage is coming from. And it felt natural in those games to have some way to, on the spot, mitigate what the enemy was doing. And it resulted in immediate feedback, and it was very, very much a part of the game, not a tacked-on extra. Whereas in Paper Mario, and this is maybe like a difference of like my perception of what the game is all about, I regret the passing of all of these badges faded away into the background in the face of the one that you start the game equipped with and just need to get a little better at doing, the Perfect Guard badge that costs 0 badge points. And is way, way more powerful than its cost in that sense. So you no longer have to think about strategy or really many of the mechanics of the game at all. Forget them. Just parry more.
And it's always, you know, just parry more. Just don't get hit. But for myself, and I probably for many players of my skill level or lower, we know that it's not realistic that we will parry every attack. I still used Defend Plus and Damage Dodge, even though I was frequently going for parries, because I knew that I would miss sometimes, and I knew that I would be in situations where going for the parry would feel too risky, and I would rather go for the normal guard. So those badges were not eliminated. You know, you could argue that perhaps I was not playing optimally. But many players do not play optimally. In a single-player game, it, you know, as opposed to in a competitive game, it's much more important to assume that all players are attempting to play optimally. Because if in your competitive game something is optimal and the play degenerates to a single style that kills your game, I feel like, despite the existence of this strong... I'll admit it's warping. It is warping to be able to take 0 from an attack and possibly tag back for 1. But in the context of actually having played through the game several times, sometimes immediately in succession, which is, you know, essentially the only way to get good, is to just, you know, keep playing again. Even then... You know, I feel like the, you know, always perfect guard person is the person like the speedrunner who has decided to make this game, and a large part of their life, getting good at this game, is extremely important to them. And I'm okay with them, at that point, breaking the game over their knee. I don't think that makes the game a worse game for everyone else who's playing it the way they feel like playing it. Players of lowest...
I can't let you go quite that far. To say that because it's a single-player game, I don't ever need to balance it. Which is basically what you're saying. Let a single player get whatever experience they want out of it, and the game is perfect. There's no way we can really accept
that. I can't agree with that. I can't agree with what I just said, Kaz.
Oh no, I've gotten to the end of my charge, and the enemy is not here. What happened? No, I mean, clearly there's some level at which we have to say not every game experience, or not every playthrough as experienced is what we want. And there is some stuff... Yeah, I know, sounds crazy to say, wow, some things that players do with our game are not right. What? And I think that, like, even... Paper Mario is already really great, and I have to work really hard to find anything I don't like about it, and this is me doing that. But the fact of the matter is that you can do a great many things in Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. Most of them are pretty good. That's why the game is so strong, why I use it as an example to people, hey, make games more like this, because you have so many different kinds of plans you can have, and however many styles you can have. The same kind of thing happens in Diablo 3, where the game balance, per se, is not necessitated by player competition, but only by build diversity. And so if we accept that the ideal form of single-player balance is a diversity of outcomes... or a diversity of successful strategies. We would want to create games in such a way that provide more possibilities for successful strategy.
I can definitely, just so far, I want to say I agree. That is a good metric for answering the question of, is my single-player game balanced? You know, are there multiple valid strategies useful or effective? That's an important question, and that's a good sort of potential answer to it.
And that's not universal either.
No,
but there are some...
It applies to the games we're talking about.
I mean, there are some games where it's very reducible to a single strategy, and that's the skill that it's testing, and that's also its entire point. I don't tend to enjoy those, but that's definitely a game. I think that Paper Mario, as it's built, falls in the latter, where we say, well, actually, there's lots of things, and the game becomes the joy of experiencing that moment where you figure out some new method to apply, which I am claiming, and this is the part where I think you can fight me, definitely, and I have been.
Yeah.
And I'm claiming that the existence of Perry removes more than it adds in terms of build diversity, in terms of strategic depth to the game. There's very little... I'm trying to think of examples from, like, other games where there's something quite that encompassing and degenerate. But there just isn't. There's nothing in my experience is even close to this. Because if you think about, say... Mario RPG, that had action commands. Or, no, I know exactly the kind of game that has this kind of degenerate stuff in it. And it's games that I think we both don't like. So it's going to be kind of hard to start that conversation. But Tales of...
Tales of Anime?
Yeah. Tales of Anime games. There's always, like, one skill... Whatever it is in the game that's like, it will make you dodge and attack, and this just bends the all of the, like, positioning game balance stuff right in half, and you have to do that or else you don't win. And there's even, like, post-game stuff that is based around you needing to do this all the time. Like, they even knew. They knew how warping this one skill was, but they didn't care. They just, like, fine... If you want to use this skill, here's post-game content. Do it for, like, 25 straight minutes to deal, like, 20 damage to this boss with millions of hit points. I can't stand that kind of game, by the way. It's too warping.
Too warping. I will concede this point to you. The Super Goad mechanic is probably the single most whooping mechanic in the game.
Yeah, I'm having trouble figuring out a different one. I mean, the ability to swap partners and get, like, effectively more hit points on your side. I mean, you either spend the turn spend the action to swap partner, or if you have the 7 badge point costing quick change, then you don't spend the action to swap your partner. Right.
And that's strong, but that's also you spending 2 1/3 levels to say, this is what my strategy is.
Right.
You have
Which I guess
invested.
Brings me to my next like vector of reasoning about Perry being just way too good. Is if we had the same game, but without Perry. Okay? Enemy damage is the same, Mario damage is the same. All the badges are the same cost and everything. Maybe I would take out certain super damaging attacks like a Mazy Daisy stuff, and I would also want to remove bristles and some clefts, because there are certainly times when, like, the flying defense having spiked enemy is just like, what? Who also resists fire? Like, wait, my moves are fire, or don't pierce the... What? But anyway, basically the same game, just no parry. And we're discussing, okay, I have this idea for a badge that introduces the mechanic of parry. And how many badge points does it cost to equip that? Suddenly I have the other use of another button, and it does this other thing that is really great.
Right. It would also be more complex than any other single badge in the game.
I mean, some badges introduce moves. And the moves themselves have, like, new mini-games to play on top of them. I don't know if it's necessarily more complex.
But that's something that you're saying, during my turn, my action, I'm doing this. Now you're saying, like, during every enemy turn, every time an enemy attacks
I now
have this choice available.
Right.
When before I didn't.
Yeah.
And, like, the timing for each one is, you know, when you have the attacking new move minigame, it's the same every time. You know,
okay,
variations
right.
Enemy position.
Right, if we're talking about the fundamental build of the game having, like, enemies with their different moves, then it puts an additional layer on that existing game.
Right. So you're saying that we take Counter Guard and make it
a badge. Right. Because I would be way happier with it if it were a badge. Because I'm pretty sure that if I think about it as a badge, there's no argument that I can reasonably make that says it should cost zero. Zero is definitely undercosted for that thing. Zero-point badges are drawbacks and cosmetic changes. At one badge point, we have... Like, some moves, danger-specific
moves. Some basic
moves,
some basic moves and some basic enhancements, like a deep super appeal.
Super appeal. Wait, yeah. Really? That's still one?
It might be up to...
I think that one got hiked to 2, even.
Because I know that got split into super appeal and super appeal P.
Right.
So there's at least that.
But, like, I mean, star power itself is kind of better.
Yeah.
Because we have, like... Every single action command and extra stylish move you make and super guard also.
Well,
oh my God.
Some of the moves are weak. Like, Earth Tremor is weaker than Shooting Star. Just
right.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But it's also a lot easier to get extra star power back. I think that's sort of the direction they went. You get more of it, but it's not this automatic free Zappo anymore. You have to work for it.
Which
a
is certainly better, because any... The range of power you should have with any single turn has to be kind of limited. And breaking through that, like, power level is something that the greater strategies of the game allow you to do.
Right.
That's kind of good.
You have this idea for Super Guard as a badge. What would you price it at?
5.
When in the game could you acquire this badge?
I would say chapter three. Not immediately, but fairly early on, so that you could experience... So
before the midway
point. Before the halfway point. Yeah. Definitely before the halfway point. Like, after you've experienced a good range of the enemy attack styles, like something... Okay, the guy who bumps you, the guy who zips at you quickly, the guy who travels in a lobbing arc towards you, the guy who swoops at you, the guy who shoots little parabolas at you. Once you've experienced like all of those basic attack styles, then I would put the ability in the player's hands to know more about them and be able to make use of that knowledge. See, now you've experienced all the attacks, you can get this badge. It's probably pretty expensive, or like there's only one of it from some, or it's a, like a side treasure in a little area that's off the main path. Who knows? I haven't figured out how to place badges around the place just yet. But I think 5 is about right. It's something of a sweet spot and something of an oddity. So at 6, we have like flat improve you passives. Defend plus, power plus, power plus partner, defend plus partner. Jeez, what else costs 6?
Is Flower Saver still 6?
I don't know. I haven't found Flower Saver yet.
It was 6 like in the recently. First game.
It was.
And I used it, gladly.
7 is reserved for the mighty quick change, I think.
Possibly return postage.
Right, return...
Which
I don't know why return postage is
quick change is good.
Quick change deserves the 7 badge points that it costs.
I've paid that tax before and smiled at
two,
about it.
At 2 badge points, we have like good moves or like stackable power moves. Sometimes passives like Lucky Lucky, Happy Heart, Happy Flower, Happy Heart Partner, those little things. Damage dodge now. It's like a third of a defensive point. 3 gives us heart plus, right. Flower plus. Because
that's
plus.
Like how much you get in a level.
Right. Right. HP plus, FP plus are both 3. What else is 3? I was going to say damage dodge, but that's 2 now.
Can't rightly remember.
Yeah. I think there are moves that are 3.
Yeah, some really like fancy moves.
Pretty good moves. Like Fire Drive, I think.
Yeah, I think Tornado Jump.
Yeah, might be 3. Like you get into some pretty serious freaking moves. Like individually good power level kind of moves at 3. What is 4? 4 would have to be like a premium move. Like the best move of any badge point amount would cost 4.
I think like 4 is like passives that are not quite as good as attack or defense up.
Hmm.
And
oh man, hold on. Simplifier and unsimplifier are both 1. Those are important.
Yes.
I like those. I was gonna work that into this conversation somehow. What else was 4? The all or nothing.
Yes, all or nothing.
All or nothing.
The power plus butt.
It's just better than Power Plus.
Right?
It's 4 just points.
Don't screw up.
Don't miss.
Don't screw up.
I like power. See, I like power. I like all or nothing a lot. I like the existence of the simplifier and the unsimplifier, even though they're like their effect is not public or obvious. It's very difficult to determine quite how much you're getting
right.
out of one.
It's like the benefit is less quantifiable than a lot of other benefits,
right.
But you get a sense of it.
Yeah.
You can tell, like, yeah, I am getting my meter back faster or slower. Or, like,
right.
Yeah, I am hitting the action command more
I'm
often,
doing it
or
more
less
often.
Often.
Or less often. Yeah, so I like those. And they're all badges.
So you don't like that this is a, you know, tattoo rather than a badge?
Yes. I think I'm okay with it being in the game at 5 badge points and delivered like 2/3 of the way through the game. Or 1/3 of the way through the game.
Right. Hmm. Whereas I really like it as something that you can use from the starting gun and start getting, start improving at. Right, from the beginning of the game.
You're
so that by
you're
the
still
end of the
training
game,
for it with the basic guard. I mean, rarely do you go at it with, I'm never going to hit A, and I'm going to just keep doing this.
I mean, you can try a whole bunch of things. We can try doing a playthrough with no super guard, try doing a playthrough no regular guard, all kinds of stuff. Here's another idea that I have. Rather than making, let's keep it as a tattoo, keep it as a core mechanic, but change its effect somewhat. When you successfully, let's avoid calling it counter guard, let's call it super guard, because I think that's good for what I'm about to describe. It doubles all defensive whatevers that Mario has. So damage dodge is still doing something for you, and in fact it's doing twice as much if you super guard. The two defense points for two badge points, holy snap. Now this badge is amazing. But it doesn't, it no longer will for free always reduce something to zero.
I would like that a lot more. And also get rid of the return damage to the enemy thing, because that, ugh. Like, Zap-Tap does that, you know?
Zap-Tap does that in some cases.
Right.
Like, for
It doesn't even do it in all cases.
Yeah, and that's why it's lousy.
It costs three badge points.
I shouldn't say it's... Oh, they lowered it.
They did.
I shouldn't say it's lousy. I should say that there are lots of situations where it does nothing, and a lot of situations where it wins the game. Against a pack of fuzzies, you slap on Zap-Tap and you open up your newspaper. Against a horde of Koopas...
I mean, yeah, no, it would. It will train you to learn which enemies have safe attacks and not.
Mm.
And that's kind of a cool learning moment. Whereas if I'm always, oh, made contact, one. Or, oh, knocked his thing back in, one. It's like it's always happening.
I guess I also still like that return damage in there as a way to get damage on very high defense enemies.
I like that well enough. What I don't like are high defense enemies that also are immune to certain damage types that are commonly available that would be useful to subvert them. So I'm seeing this from the perspective of those guys no longer needing to exist.
The flying spiked cleft.
Well, look, spiked Parabuzzy is also...
It is no joke. That's true. That's also an enemy that exists.
That's a real enemy.
Is the flying spike top.
the aerial cleft really doesn't exist. But no, I mean, like, you come up against clefts and bristles very early on.
Yes.
And they're both like, okay, I have more defense than you can break and I'm immune to fire in case you picked up a fire flower. Nah.
Yeah.
What?
the game pretty much tells you use a POW block.
Right.
Or get good at super guard.
Which it gave you right before.
Yeah.
It did give you the POW block.
Right. I hope you
reach.
Didn't do something else with that.
Yeah.
Because you're in for a world of hurt.
You are. If it comes down to... I guess I don't want anything to have to come down to counter guard.
Yeah, that segment where you sort of get a POW block... And then you go up against those two bristles, sticks out in my mind as sort of an awkward segment where, much more than any other point in the game, a player has the chance to essentially ruin themselves.
Right. I could actually see someone taking up this game and hating life because they either failed to pick up the power block or just threw it away or whatever.
Yeah, they're like, oh, let me go see what that does. Goes back, fights the enemy. Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, neat. All right.
Keeps going, oh.
What now? Oh, I can't hammer him.
You use that key
he, like,
on that
pokes
on
me.
Something
yeah,
other
should
than
be.
The lock.
I like puzzles well enough, and I like battles fine. Puzzle battles really infuriate me. There is one...
Well, it's a puzzle battle with a resource... You know, a puzzle battle where you need to use your things that you always have available to you is a different matter.
Right.
This is a puzzle battle where it's like, do you have the key in your backpack? And an answer to that question might be no. You always have, okay, you probably have jump and hammer.
Right. No, so I'm thinking of, In the situation where, since we're talking about like branching hypothetical scenarios,
and now we've gone to.
By the way, this is what game design is like. Yeah. Here's what exists. Wait,
Medibot's alternative super goad that's still super excellent, and I would use
like doubles.
Like I'd be okay with it still tattoo, doubles all defensive whatevers. Still returns damage and reflects projectiles.
Yeah, I would want that with no reflect, that same thing without the returning damage and reflecting projectiles in the world where we do not introduce clefts so goddamned early and we don't have bristles at all.
Yeah, bristles are kind of...
What the hell? That is the monster that the DM made up himself.
Yeah, he's like, oh, okay, my player character attacks by walking up to things and hitting them, or by jumping on top of them. Well, have I got a monster for them. Enjoy, like, this is the game's rust monster. It's like, oh, playing someone with equipment? How adorable.
Oh, is it made of metal? It rusts. He eats it.
He devours it.
He makes little, like, buzzing noises and has a propeller for a tail. And he eats metal.
That's what you get for not being a spellcaster.
Or a druid. Or a and druid having like all your ironwood stuff's made of whatever. And rust monster's just like, oh.
That doesn't taste so good. But yeah, bristles. Man. If a bristle appears, it should be late enough in the game that you could be more expected to have weird shit up your sleeve.
Right.
At the very least, Earth Tremor.
Well.
To be like, in case of emergency, build up 2 meters and throw this at the enemies.
Earth Tremor is a good fail-safe in the game.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the enemy loadout, and it's like, huh, what can I do about this? Well, Earth Tremor will still get them. If you max it out, it will hit absolutely any enemy on the
screen. Like, stuff on the ceiling.
Yeah, it'll get
them.
It'll go to the ceiling, and at max, deal 6 defense ignoring damage.
Yes.
There is only one enemy in the game that doesn't take damage from this. Okay, 2. Because they're, like, brothers or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're a dumb gimmick fight that
A dumb gimmick fight that they use to force you to use your new partner
Use Yoshi.
Yeah.
But, man. I really didn't use Yoshi apart from that. I think I'm going to have to play through and force myself to not do things that I like. So that I use just, like, more of, like, flurry.
Keep your Goomba with you and tattle all the time.
Right.
And then just...
No, I'll do it. In the upcoming playthrough, you'll pay the tax. I will. I'm going to use Flurry and Yoshi.
Oh.
And, like, not even Bobbery. I like Bobbery.
Bobbery is basically excellent. So Super Guard. Kind of warps the game. I still do like it because it's... I also like mechanics that ask the player, how good do you think you are? And even though in this case it seems like a very binary... thing of, like, how good do you think you are? Well, you messed up. No, you got it.
Right.
Because you can, like, the way I played is I went for it a lot, but I still had my defense badges on.
Mm-hmm.
That's me saying I think I'm pretty good, but not perfectly good. You know, I still want a little bit of backup, and I'm willing to pay for that backup, but I'm hoping that I don't need it. And so there actually is a decent... gradient of how answers to the how good do you think you are question.
Right, that's the kind of thing that I would prefer were more in the central area of the game's identity, which is to say there are strategy games and tactics games. In the tactical question, that's what you're talking about. It's, there's something coming at me right now, which of these do I choose? I would prefer that choice to be on the strategy level, where I've scouted them out, or I know what's coming, or I've figured it out no matter how. How do I load out my badges? How do I obtain new badges? How do I judge what is an appropriate cost to pay, both in, like, spent money or whatever, and star chips or whatever they call those? Star piece.
Star Pringles.
Star Pringles. Both in Star Pringles and in coins to obtain something. Once you have enough information to be able to make value judgments on the available system of badges, that's where all our cool decision making comes in. That's where you do most of your decision making in Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. Maybe not in an absolute number of decisions sense, but certainly in a, like, time spent just sitting thinking about stuff sense. It's certainly the most time that I've spent in Thousand Year Door, just sitting there theory crafting about, okay, wait, where do we get that badge? How much is... Wait, is that really worth it?
What's your badging round?
I mean, beyond, like, this many levels, you don't even need more badge points, because you already have your build.
But you could have more badge points. What if that unlocks secret cosmic powers?
Jeez, I don't know. But that's where I want the decision point to exist. Not on the tactics level, but the strategy level, specifically for Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. I would be fine if... Let's see. I would be fine if we're talking about, like, a fighting game, and you have your, like, choice of super strategy choice, and then most of the crucial decisions are on the tactics level, what's happening right now. It makes way more sense to push the decision point into the tactical sphere, because that's what the game is about. The game is not about choosing your super. I hope to
God. Game begins at character select, Kaz.
I mean, yeah, it really does.
Yeah. Pick a top tier.
Choose your tier. What if they, oh my God, you'd like separate them into tiers, yeah, just by like blocks.
It's like, yeah, we didn't really fully balance.
I have a really sarcastic view of all fighting games, and maybe that's bleeding through somewhat, having never become good at them. And that's where we'll leave it.
Super Guard is a controversial mechanic among people who think really hard about Super Guard.
Yeah, among like me and the world.
Among teams.
Honestly, I haven't come up to anyone who also dislikes it. Yeah, and it's honestly, it is a very hard thing to dislike. If you're playing the game,
because it makes you more powerful,
right?
Without like making all of your decision points trivial, because you still have to like attack and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like that part of the game doesn't get deleted.
Sure.
The part of the game that gets deleted is one that you probably didn't care, didn't love as much to begin with, because it didn't have as much decision space.
Mm.
You know, you have defend plus and damage dodge and like lucky, and those are your defense badges.
Right.
And that's it.
If you choose to write those off as a curiosity, then you're not going to come away with a bad impression of the game.
Yeah.
It has to get a lot more degenerate than Perry truly is before players will sort of walk away saying, this is too, you know, I have my other things that I could do, or my I win button. I'm just going to hit that, so this is boring. It's not a boring mechanic, by no means. It's not a trivial one. It is a warping one.
It is warping, but it's not trivial.
One that I've thought
I can agree with that. It is warping, but not trivial.
It's one I've spent way too much energy thinking about. Sooner or later, I will find some other human who also thinks that the parry mechanic needs to change.
You can marry them.
I'm going to... Is that what we really need? That's like soulmates at that point?
Oh, yeah.
Parry mechanic.
You're the only two people on Earth who have the same opinion about that game mechanic. Mm-hmm. You would clearly...
In that one specific game.
In that one game.
What happened to Paper Mario as a series?
We don't talk about what happened to Paper Mario as a series.
Unless we very do in another Skulls cast. Okay, Medibot is making a motion that indicates to me that he doesn't really want to start that conversation, but sooner or later we will start a different conversation.
I will fall for Kaz's pizza box trap, and I will be forced into the conversation. There's no escape.
Guess what? There's a microphone in the bottom! And you'll have to finish by saying Skulls!
Skulls!